Get your snack and beverage of choice ready. It's time to gather around the trash fires for a tabletop role-playing story. I'm your host, Beck Andrew Evans. My current and main running story for this podcast is the misadventures of the cohort from the Deviant the Renegades Chronicle I've been playing in since early 2021, and I play Jerry. For those of you unfamiliar with Deviant, it's a TTRPG about people who were formerly human, but were irreparably changed in traumatic ways to the point their very souls broke and they became something other. They seek vengeance on those who made them, those who hunt them, and those who seek to exploit them for what they are and will never leave them be. As such, this podcast will feature heavy themes and content throughout. There's an overall content warning for language, violence, criminality, homelessness, substance use, human experimentation, cults and religious extremism, mentioned torture, kidnapping, implied incest and incest-related comments, and abusive relationships. On episodes where there's a new content warning or a particularly notable instance of one of these, I'll call it out. Hope y'all enjoy hearing about my cohort's antics and stumbling headfirst into the mysteries of the world as much as I have. Green Country Calcination, Episode 7, Madison and Booze. After the visit with Lucas, the cohort had their work cut out for them, starting preparations to rescue Cassidy. One of the first things on Jerry's list of things to do was give the cohort a non-telepathic means of group communications in the cabin. She totally wasn't annoyed with AJ still being upset with her at all, and definitely didn't have to rewrite her first entry in the extremely low-tech shared pen and journal set several times to scratch out such phrases as, "Since AJ's being a piss baby." The end result of the notice is rather short and direct, simply informing the others the journal is to share messages and gathered information for when their schedules didn't line up to always meet face-to-face. Jerry also decided she wanted that argument with AJ to stop, but wasn't sure how to be positive it would stop. So naturally, she attempted to solve the issue of non-consensual telepathy with more non-consensual telepathy, instead of just talking to literally anyone. Because talking about your problems out loud makes you look stupid. You can't just admit you don't know things you by all accounts should. She decided, since Beth has an innate understanding of emotions, and was at least somewhat close to AJ while they were at the ward, to reconnect to her again and, instead of initiating a private conversation, to poke around in Beth's brain for the information she wanted. She looked for what Beth knew about AJ's emotional state while they were at the ward, what Beth might know about how to smooth things over with AJ, and what Beth knows about how to, mundanely, get people to not be upset, generally. Beth knew that things were very delicate for AJ. His whole world had just been shattered when he learned that his beloved Uncle Gabriel had kept secrets from him, especially secrets like this. Beth believed the best way to smooth things over with AJ was for honesty to be the best policy, and for general knowledge on making people less upset. She believed truthfulness, mutual respect, and clear learning from mistakes usually work best. Most of those were things Jerry didn't want to hear. She put off settling the issues with AJ until she could hopefully find an approach she didn't hate. We start our scene shortly after dusk in the cohort's cabin. It's been a couple short days since meeting Lucas. During the past days, AJ's been making a ruckus at all hours in the garage he's claimed as his bedroom, holing up in there except for supply runs. Jerry's in the kitchen cooking dinner for the whole cohort, home-style mac and cheese. She's readily taken on several domestic tasks for cohort functioning and is actually good at them. She doesn't tend to venture outside the cabin as much as the others for her research and other conspiracy-fighting tasks. Robert's actually awake, starting his evening casually sipping on a glass of dark spirits. AJ finally slinks out of the garage, wearing a flannel button-up, jeans, and an apron with a hula dancer's body on it. He watches Jerry cooking for a moment before conspicuously rummaging for frozen foods instead. Jerry tries to offer him some of the food she's making, letting him know it's for everyone, but just then, the door slams open and then shut again. It's Madison, the girl's frazzled, clinging to the door, wide-eyed, locking it, peeking out the peephole. She takes a few breaths, but it doesn't do much to calm her. She's wearing a simple casual outfit, dark jeans, sneakers, dark sweater, with her hair tied up in a messy bun. AJ was about to answer Jerry, but at the sight of Madison, makes a lighthearted joke asking if Lucas can turn into honey badgers now, in a gentle attempt to coax an explanation from her. Madison's explanation is choppy, panicked, and out of breath. She throws pieces of an explanation at the cohort. The blonde church lady was at the woods. The church set a trap. Maddie was leaving messages only Cass could understand, and somehow the church could too. So they set a big trap, but Maddie spotted it in time. She doesn't think any of the church folk spotted her on the way back. Maddie doesn't swear even under these dire circumstances, preferring non-swear filler curses instead, like frick. Jerry, however, curses freely and openly and lets out an extended fuck at the news. AJ walks over to Maddie and asks her how she's doing, mentally. He asks if she needs anything. He rambles a bit, trying to be comforting, and says, while he knows Maddie's under 21, it seems like a dark liquor kind of situation. Maddie demands vodka. AJ immediately realizes he has made a terrible mistake in his attempts at comfort rambling and offers to make her a delicious hot chocolate instead. Maybe she'll forget about the booze comment. Madison is undeterred. She knows what she wants, and she tells AJ where the vodka's kept as she collapses in a heap on the floor. AJ offers the cocoa again and sweetens the deal with mini marshmallows. Jerry tries to help, offering the other girl fresh homemade mac and cheese. Maddie orders AJ get the vodka. AJ isn't sure what to do with the normally sweet and peppy little cheerleader several years his junior ordering him around. He hesitates for a moment, but does it. Robert's still in his seat, observing the scene and sipping his drink. He notes, after a while of thinking on it, that Maddie's friend's definitely not okay, or the church has someone with powers like Jerry. Jerry explains that powers like that are either gifts of knowledge or wisdom. From the list of spiritual gifts categories from the Bible the Church of Charismatic Virtues preaches about. Madison worries the church might be torturing Cassidy for information. AJ's returned with Maddie's drink and offers it to her, a very small amount of plain vodka in a glass. He asks if she'd like anything in it as he offers it, but before he can even get through his question, she's already taken the glass, knocked it back, and asked him for more. Jerry's off in her own little world of thought for several moments, before something clicks and she remembers from that very vague description that person Madison encountered was the youth minister of the Church of Charismatic Virtues, who supposedly has a gift of wisdom and can talk directly to God. Jerry thinks maybe it is a power like hers. Robert chastises AJ for bringing the booze and tells him to not let Maddie get drunk because it'll make her irrational. AJ gives Robert a look that he's free to deal with it. Madison starts arguing with Robert that he shouldn't be a jerk because he is currently drinking. Robert counters that this is his last glass and he's had the experience to know self-control and how to hold his liquor. Maddie says she has plenty of experience with alcohol. She went to Cassica Hall. Jerry wants the pair to quit arguing. There's way more important shit to deal with than Madison having a little vodka in the cabin. Like the girl in danger. Robert says he can't let the group binge drink because he still has morals. Maddie urgently wants more vodka so she doesn't accidentally another mass murder. Robert makes everything worse, asking, wouldn't the vodka make her more likely to kill people? Maddie and Robert keep arguing until Robert abruptly says he's not her dad, she can do whatever the fuck she wants. AJ tries his best to calm the two down, reminding them of the very important shit going on. He tells Robert the cohort won't let Madison go overboard, and tells Maddie that of course she has morals, she's the most straight-laced of the cohort. At that moment, there's a tension-breaking whir of a table saw from the garage, followed by a gleeful whee. The cohort immediately gets distracted by Zeus. AJ's so very done with Zeus's shit, asking, again? Robert asks why Zeus is messing around with the saw, then drops the question. Jerry just yells at full volume to Zeus that she made food as she starts dishing out the mac and cheese into bowls. Madison's hands sparking without her meaning to, maybe without her noticing. She pushes to her feet and reaches for the bottle of vodka in AJ's hand. Robert starts to make half a complaint about giving Madison vodka, but cuts himself off and just grumbles instead. Hearing the siren songs of food, Zeus enters the main area, wearing dark shades, shimmer gold and leopard print boxers, bunny slippers, and a floofy pink bathrobe. His hair's lighter than usual, either from the bits of sawdust he's covered in, experiments with hair bleaching, or a little of both. Zeus takes in the state of the cohort and observes out loud there's a lot of tension. He calls it awkward feng shui. Robert says it's always tense. Maddie can't tell whether that's her mother's bathrobe and doesn't care. It's Zeus's now. AJ gets distracted from Madison trying to take the whole damn bottle and gently guilts her to try to hold back, asking if she wants to have to tell Cassidy she had to wait an extra day with the crazy church because Madison had a hangover. Maddie's not listening to anyone and takes a whole gulp of vodka straight out of the bottle, all while saying the cohort need to save Cass right now. Robert tells her that if they need to do it right now, unless she's making a Molotov, she needs to put down the bottle. When Jerry offers Zeus his bowl of mac and cheese, he excitedly grabby hands and nearly loses his damn slipper scrambling over to get it. He asks where the cohort's going while shoveling hot cheesy noodles into his mouth. AJ looks to Zeus then and says he'll have to change clothes and stay out of his workshop, aka the garage. Zeus replies, he'll just wear the car, obviously. He makes zero promises about AJ's workshop. Madison wants to go out very soon, if not now, before the crazy cult kills Cass. She says the cohort needs a plan, like, super fast. Robert reassures Madison the cohort will rescue Cass before the cult kills her. He says this time of day, the evening and night, is his time of day where he doesn't have to dress like a weirdo or be in horrific pain. Zeus, curious, asks if they're going on a murder adventure. Robert corrects him that it's a rescue adventure. Madison loses her shit that, oh my god, the cohort isn't terrible like the cult. They're not gonna murder. Of course it's a rescue mission. Zeus acknowledges the answer, but doesn't seem to mind either way. Jerry says their first priority is to rescue anyone the church has captive. Then slow the church down somehow if they can, till they can hit them harder later. AJ agrees, and suggests the cohort should leave the cabin soon after the rescue since the church was snooping so uncomfortably close. Robert adds, after a moment, that the cohort can't rule out killing people because the cohort doesn't have good control over their powers yet, so they can't risk holding back if they need to use them. Maddie asks Robert if he's ever killed before, and he says he hasn't, but thinks Jerry has, and she seems not that deranged. Jerry neither confirms whether she's killed, nor comments on her level of perceived derangement. She instead changes the subject, saying that if even half of what they preach is true, the church has got at least six or so remade on their side. Robert says that's just more reason they can't hold back. Not try to kill, of course, but not worry too much about killing. Go all out, or else one of the cohort might die. Sure, he's down with Robert's idea, sort of, but thinks that it'll take strategy to fully dismantle the cult, not just going off half-cocked. She's adamant the hostages need to be prioritized, though she's largely not opposed to blasting things along the way. Madison wonders what separates them from the cult if they're planning on murdering people. She doesn't want to be responsible for more death. She just wants to save her friends. AJ also is visibly uncomfortable with Robert's comments on holding back. Zeus is, once more, extremely engrossed in eating rather than the younger cohort members discussing things. He sprawls out on a chair while the others argue. Some of the others are eating as they discuss as well, Robert and Jerry. The only one who refused mac and cheese outright is AJ. AJ reassures Madison that the cohort will save the people the church took, gently attempting to take the vodka bottle from her hands. Madison was so very worked up from that conversation. The idea of killing again, of even being in a situation where it might be a reasonable idea to kill. A potent electric shock flows through her hands and shatters the bottle when AJ tries to touch it, but somehow his reflexes are fast enough he jumps out of harm's way, only getting a little glass on his sleeve. He jokes around for her to go easy on his hands. Jerry was about to hand Maddie her bowl of mac and cheese, but then the bottle explodes, so she offers to get a towel and broom instead. Zeus doesn't say anything as he continues stuffing his face, but boy is he smirking watching the sudden events. None of the cohort seem to notice him. Robert tells Maddie not to worry about it, that none of them know how to fully control their powers yet. He claims he sometimes wakes up bigger than he should. AJ mutters that most of them don't have full control yet and glares at the spot of the floor Jerry is standing on. Maddie apologizes, tipsy and confused, then scurries off with Jerry to get cleaning supplies. Robert recommends Maddie not overstress herself, just do some breathing exercises and try to relax on the couch while they all come up with a plan. Otherwise, she might hurt herself. Zeus pipes up with a good-natured question, asking if Madison's proposing an assault on the Church of Charismatic Virtues. Madison insists it's a rescue as she and Jerry clean. Jerry hasn't bothered to put on shoes while dealing with broken glass. Robert gently offers to take the mop from Madison and do the cleaning for her so she can calm down and rest instead. Madison reluctantly complies, still crackling all over with little sparks of electricity. Zeus explains, if it's possible people will be harmed, it's an assault for a rescue. He tries to get her to understand, from the perspective of an experienced former soldier, that what matters is intent if they need to use violence. AJ is too stressed with the whole situation to seriously listen to what Zeus actually said, and tells him to knock it off as he leads the sparking, tipsy baby to the couches to rest. Zeus is unbothered by agitated new roommates napping, and just goes back to enjoying the last of his mac and cheese. Zeus very much doesn't baby and coddle Madison like the others do. He doesn't treat her like essentially a child. He treats her like on the same level as the other new roommate. Still much younger and less experienced than him, but an adult capable of understanding nuanced and dark topics. AJ sits with Madison to comfort her, using a pair of rubber insulator gloves from his apron pocket to protect himself. He also tells Robert to go ahead and tell the cohort whatever update he'd been wanting to tell them. Robert says he's started training at night. He reports he can create 3 super fast clones of himself, and while they can't fight, he can sort of switch between them. But he can't hulk out while doing the clones, it's one or the other. However, not being in the sun is very important. AJ has the idea that the clones could deploy some of his gadgets. Madison engages some with Robert's explanation, and it seems to help take her mind off things and help her begin to slowly calm down. Zeus eventually notices he has a little bit of glass embedded in his arm from when the bottle exploded. He tugs it out, and the bloodless wound knits itself back together, shimmering with nanites. He's barely inconvenienced and picks his teeth with the shard of glass. Madison and Jerry stare at Zeus, though Jerry soon goes back to cleaning. Age is in the other room and doesn't notice. Zeus puts his dishes in the sink, shard of glass in the trash, and retrieves some of his beloved ice cream sandwiches, and some for AJ and Maddie as well when they ask. When Robert tells him they can't buy infinite ice cream sandwiches, Zeus retorts they wouldn't have to if they let him merge with the ice cream truck. Back on focus, finally, AJ asks if the cohort has an idea of the layout of the Church of Charismatic Virtues. Maddie asks who the churchwoman who looks kinda like if Miley Cyrus handed out the Watchtower is. Jerry explains she's the youth minister named Serena Chaffin. Serena supposedly has the gift of wisdom and hears secret wisdom from God, which Jerry thinks might be similar to her own dream power. Zeus suggests Serena may actually be hearing voices, possibly even some godlike entity, like an angelic being, primordial echoes from dead universes, Galatia, fairies. AJ is displeased at the idea of God, or God's plural, being real now. AJ asks what gadgets he needs to prepare for the rescue. He suggests his Smoky Boys, the RC car with the smoke bomb. He also wants to make something effective against enemies in the dark. He asks Jerry if they use radio comms. Jerry says they do, even for normal functions, since it's a weird megachurch of a few thousand people. AJ doesn't like the idea of a full frontal assault with that many people and prefers infiltration. Maddie has no idea how they'd infiltrate if the church would recognize them right away. Maddie notes that it's kind of weird for there to be women in high-up leadership positions and awkwardly asks Jerry if it's something like the Nexium cult situation. Jerry dismisses the idea with prejudice and clear disgust on the basis that Empress Palpatine Head Elder Agatha is ancient. Robert has an idea. Since the church probably has good security if they can keep prisoners, Robert suggests he can draw out all the security by busting up windows or something in his sandstone monster form and then run away whenever security gets too close. Then the rest of the cohort can be sneaky. Zeus is totally for the plan. He wants an excuse to use kung fu. When questioned about it, he says he has combat programming for self-defense and implies he can know or activate different martial arts knowledge as needed. During the conversation, AJ's been scribbling down notes for new gadgets. He suggests they could try that trope of dressing as guards and pretending to bring in prisoners. They could pretend to have caught Jerry, even. Maddie adds they'd have to pretend to have caught her too, since the church knows who she is. Jerry's not super keen on the idea, but not totally opposed either. Robert thinks it's riskier than his plan to smash windows in monster form. Robert brings up the possibility of the church calling up the society, which Jerry and Maddie dismiss since the two organizations are known to not like each other. Zeus mutters something about drama in the web of pain. AJ suggests, for the infiltration, he and Robert look pretty average already, and they can look pretty different just doing things like shaving and wearing the uniform, since the church won't know their faces. They'll already have to go at night from Robert's restrictions. Robert keeps hardcore advocating for Plan Smash. Jerry tries ineffectively to explain why it might be a bad idea, so AJ calls the first group vote. All in favor of Plan Hulk Smash, Robert and Zeus. He wants to kung fu. All in favor of Plan These Are Not the Droids You're Looking For, AJ, Jerry, Maddie, and also Zeus. He does the famous Star Wars line about Lukes and fathers and clarifies unnecessarily that he doesn't mean Maddie's Luke. No one bothers to tell Zeus about voting twice. AJ suggests maybe they could use parts of both plans. Have Zeus car and Robert clones ready for action and chaos with gadgets. Maybe break down a wall while the rest of the cohort sneaks in. Madison suggests scaling the chaos back to maybe plan B or C. Maybe the last resort. Something to keep in the back pocket. Zeus asks if Maddie's a pacifist, which Jerry and Maddie counter. Maddie lists Camille and the soldiers as people she's attacked on purpose. She just prefers not killing if she can avoid it. She also adds that she attacked Zeus, and the two reminisce with awe how wild the moment was. Robert thinks they should all try to embrace what they are, like Madison and Zeus enjoying their shared memory of power usage. They may as well become more like Zeus as they get older, and really own the fact that they're freaks. Zeus mildly scolds Robert. The society psychologist said the word freak was bad for morale. Madison admits to missing therapy, but definitely not the torture or drugs. Zeus said some people liked the drugs since they calmed down the bad parts too. Madison argues the society only gave the remade the power null pills to help train them into weapons, which Zeus doesn't have a response for. The cohort does admit they need combat training, even Madison. AJ's only combat move is running the fuck away. Robert says they also need to work on fighting as a team, and says, obviously, he'll always be in front. They know Cass will be an ally when they rescue her, but they're unsure if she has powers too. Zeus says the church may try to make Cass remade if she's not already from the storm, and explains that's the purpose of groups like that. When asked how they might do it, Jerry explains that her father tried to drown her while the church elders and others witnessed. AJ blurts out, momentarily forgetting he'd been refusing to speak to the girl, that Jerry's father was trying to trigger a divergence. Robert blurts out a bunch of curses and a question about how many people with powers are in this backwater-ass region. The listeners should be reminded that the Tulsa metro area where the church is has over 1.1 million residents, and is the second largest metro area in Oklahoma. Zeus explains not everyone in the conspiracy has powers, and implies remade can be worshipped or reviled or something in between. He further explains that if he's already said the power comes from the soul, and is released by the cracks, the process can get dark. Madison gets visibly angry and starts sparking again. She says they have to free Cass and stop the church. Robert says he'll crack his soul as much as he needs to. It's not like he can go back and live a normal life. Can't even take a fucking shower. Might as well go all the way. He says he's gonna sleep a bit to conserve energy, despite being nocturnal already, and to wake him up if they end up going out that night. AJ leads a hardcore planning session, quick confirming that Robert can make 3 clones before he leaves. He lists off his planned gadgets as 2 smoky boys, 1 shouty gal, and something. He tells the others to pack ear protection and shades, then asks where they're getting a church security uniform. Jerry remembers they keep some on site, and one of the guards is kinda new, ignorant of the conspiracy bullshit, and it has a crush on her. He might want her and her father to make nice, but that was part of the ruse anyway. AJ suggests convincing the guy to be part of the ruse, sort of. Tell him Jerry's trying to make nice with her old man, but she's scared they'll shoot her friends. Jerry adds she could always say she's reconnecting after her psych ward visit. Zeus suggests she set up a date and then jump him with a team of Robert clones for added drama. Madison says Zeus needs Jesus, which sends Zeus into an info dump mode about how there's many theories about how Jesus might be remade and one that overcame drawbacks. He says that maybe they all need a little Jesus. Jerry says she's had more than enough already. Maddie corrects her that was fake crazy cult Jesus. Jerry just goes quiet with a slightly forced polite smile while little scarlet wisps begin to flicker around her, singeing the couch. The others are too wrapped up in the conversation to notice. AJ asks if that means they can get powers by cannibalizing Remade, which Zeus denies, but admits he's never tried. And then he gives the idea way too much thought for comfort. Madison admonishes him with a light, sparky kick to the shin, reminding him no murder and no cannibalism. Zeus asks, what if the person signed a waiver? because he had a long time to browse the internet as a server, and you can only read so much news, and one time he came across this thing called Vore. Madison, innocently, asks what Vore is. AJ threatens to find a way to give Zeus a timeout if he keeps it up. Zeus ignores AJ and tells Maddie it's a sex thing, and loud whispers, "Use incognito." Maddie's very interested in the information that she's been gifted a forbidden, shiny treasure. Jerry collects the dishes to bring them to the other room while not entirely present in the conversation. AJ warns Maddie to not look it up, and Maddie asks Zeus if it's some gross abuse thing. The guys say it's not like that, but AJ still insists she shouldn't look it up. Madison quickly loses interest and helps Jerry with the dishes, telling her the guys are crazy. She notices something's wrong with Jerry and offers a hug once Jerry responds a little, getting matching singed clothes in the process. AJ is about to return to the garage to start work on gadgets for the mission, and tells Maddie to stay away from the booze and try some other ways to relax before go time. Zeus begs to be allowed to merge with some complicated electromagnetic device, and swears he won't zap AJ's nipple. Again. AJ, deeply unamused, threatens to EMP Zeus into a coma if he comes into the garage again. Zeus cuts at AJ and annoyingly reminds him that he's necessary to keep around since AJ can't waste all the cohort money on gas to power his tools. AJ says he can just use the Bank of Madison, and Zeus reminds him, in an ever-increasingly irritating tone, that they don't have access to her trust fund yet, before he runs past AJ into the garage. AJ relents, reluctantly, saying Zeus can help if he behaves. Almost immediately, there's crashing, cursing, shouting, squeals, cackles, and more whirs of the saw from the garage before the ruckus silences. Once they're the last two left, Jerry and Madison make some calming cocoa. Maddie says she's making the cocoa like her nanny made it for her and her brother when they were little. She admits she was closer to her than her mom, since her nanny was actually around. Jerry didn't have a nanny, but explains some people from the church helped raise her since she was always sick growing up and supposes she grew out of whatever it was. Back to planning, Jerry says she'll write up the information about the church layout and what she knows about the cult people in charge. She plans on dreaming about the church for last-minute information. The information she remembered about the Church of Charismatic Virtues and its leadership isn't wholly factual, but a lot vibes-based. Her entry for Elder Agatha Reynolds is as follows. On the council for something like 50 years? So imagine Emperor Palpatine, but a woman. Not sure if she can actually do the lightning thing like Palpatine, but who the fuck knows? Like if moldy potatoes were a person. The potatoes are nicer. Old AF. I joke about bathing in the blood of children to maintain her beauty, but that sort of culty shit might be happening. So, other notables include Derek Finley, 1000% creeper vibes, rehabilitation minister, ministers to lost souls and at prisons, head of security. He has some sort of power, but really it might just be the inescapable ick factor. Serena Chaffin, first woman youth minister, gift of wisdom and supposedly speaks to God, who tells her secrets, especially about the past. Too perky. I'd say kill her with fire, but you literally can't. Some other key points of information she shares about the church is its address, the fact the church's spiritual direction is controlled by the Elder Council, with the pastor acting more as a face. Anyone who develops gifts ends up working for the church, often as a prestigious leadership position, and the church believes, if you're holy enough, you're not supposed to get drawbacks from your spiritual gifts, which they draw on specific literal interpretations of the Bible for their justification. She also says that if Cassidy is being kept at the church, it's not somewhere publicly accessible. It would have to be underground. Jerry and Madison chat about the church and its belief system as Jerry writes up her notice. She adds to the previous explanation that Charismatic Virtues believes it's a sign of proper piousness to not have the bad side effects of their powers, and you better be holy enough or be able to hide that you aren't. Jerry's frustrated to learn Serena, the youth minister, didn't have any burns or scars when Madison saw her, and Jerry explains both her father is a faith healer and Serena's claim to fame is showing her faith through firewalking. She's never been burned at that either. Jerry describes Serena as, like, an extra evil church Karen. And then the rehabilitation minister, also the head of security, as a greasy creep that gives off vibes of someone you shouldn't be alone with. Maddie offhandedly mentions she had a coach like that. Jerry says the home study minister might be another healer and might be able to manipulate emotions, and Agatha, aka Empress Palpatine, is supposed to be a prophet. There's another elder who had discernment of spirits. He can speak to spirits trapped on Earth that haven't yet gone to heaven or hell. Jerry finishes up by talking about the layout long into the night, talking about what little she knows about the secret culty basement and the several entrances. Most are at the church proper, though one is at Serena's house. The girls bond over Coco and infiltration plans. Thanks for listening. This has been Gather Round the Trash Fires with Beck Andrew Evans. Please subscribe to this podcast for future updates and leave a review or comment. I'd love to hear what you think. You can follow me on a few different social platforms with the username Beck Andrew. That's BEKANDREW. No spaces on Tumblr and Blue Sky mainly. If you'd like to support me, subscribe to my Patreon at patreon.com/BeckAndrewTTRPG and purchase my art prints and tabletop products, including my Deviant the Renegades community content novella related to this chronicle via my link tree in the description. AJ is played by Rowan. Jerry is played by me. Madison is played by Sin. Robert is played by Pandito. And our storyteller is Casey Grant. The intro theme is Underscore Violence by Avantist from the Free Music Archive, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution International 4.0. The end theme is Time Will Fail Us by Troigo from the Free Music Archive, licensed under Creative Commons Attribution International 4.0. If you like the songs, I encourage you to check out more of their work. I've linked their band camps in the description. Until next time.